Mar.
Yes, Madeline.
I just want to confirm with what you were teaching today. For a couple of weeks now, maybe a little longer, the Lord has been talking to me about healing with the anointing oil. And every time I think of that, I think of Jan with the oil that she gave me. And believe it or not, I still have it. And the Lord was talking to me about we go to another Larry has a get together every Tuesday night. And the Lord has been speaking to me about anointing with the oil for the people that wanted it. And I just thought that it was really a confirmation about what you were teaching today and the importance of the anointing oil and really what it does by faith. And I believe God is speaking something to us right now.
All right,
Yes.
a couple little things come to me from today's message. One of them was when Mark was giving the description of Jesus as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh yeah, I'm unmuted. What came to my mind was there's a famous song titled Hallelujah. And you know, anybody can sing a song, but I'll tell you something. Whoever wrote that song knows God. And one little couple lines of the word of the song came to my mind when he talked about Jesus being a man of sorrows and grief. And those words are love is not a victory march, it's a cold and broken hallelujah. And you know, we have to get to the place where we're a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And the reason for that is there's a good side of that. When you begin to die, and I don't mean literally, when you begin to die, that's when you begin to come alive to Christ. And that's a place we all need to be. And then the other thing was, you know, there's a lot of Christians that don't believe that we can raise the dead. You'll get a lot of flack from a lot of Christians if you talk about somebody raising the dead. And the religious man might say, show me a scripture that says it is possible to raise the dead. You know, the answer doesn't always come like that. Sometimes we can get our answer through, and I don't know what the best thing to call it is, if it's common sense or reason or exactly what term to put on it. But here's the example. Would Jesus ever ask us to do something that would be impossible to do? Absolutely not. He would not ask you to do something that was impossible to do. And Jesus said, go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. So there's your answer. Is it possible to raise the dead? Absolutely yes. Why do you think so? Because Jesus asked us to do it. And so I want to encourage everybody to, when they're looking for an answer for something, look in that book, and I mean the Bible. Because in strange ways, you can get your questions answered in a what you might call an unconventional way. So anyway, that's it. God bless you.
Madeline, You said, I'm not sure you said everything you were intending to say. You said God is saying something, but you didn't really say what he was saying. Is there more that you have to add to that?
No, I think I said everything that I wanted to say, but I don't know. I'll speak for myself that we don't think of the anointing oil as much as we used to. Maybe because we're not all together in one spot and, encouraging one another to do it, but I just don't hear of it preached too much or even spoken of anymore. And I think it's a very important thing that God has given to us that when we're sick, when we're ill, whatever the need is, that I think sometimes we should think of the anointing oil and what it represents as we're doing it to the people of God.
Amen. Well, the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And we're kind of limited here in our Zoom meeting to put natural oil and natural laying on of hands. But we have the Spirit. We have the life of the Spirit here in our midst. And even as we were able to each individually take of the bread and the wine, we were able to be one in the Spirit and partake of the Lord, even, yes, partly in a natural, but partly in a spiritual manner as well. And we became one in Him. Well, brethren, like I said, I believe that we're going to see great plagues yet come upon the earth. I'm not a prophet. We saw the COVID, but I believe there's more. And I even hear these so-called great men of science say that there are more coming. Now, maybe they're planning to put more out by saying that. I don't know. But let us say that I don't think we've seen the end of plagues. And I think we really need to know that if we're going to be in the secret place of the Most High, we have to expect that we can be under his wings as far as these plagues of Egypt are concerned. I was hoping somebody would speak up and tell me what they believe the diseases of Egypt really are.
I've got a question. It's not an answer to your question, but I have a question. Other than to prove God's power or the Holy Spirit's power, why would we want to raise the dead?
Well, if it's somebody's time, of course they should go. But the enemy comes and tries to take people before their time. Especially these children. Jesus raised some children. It wasn't their time. And I think when Peter went to Dorcas, he apparently knew from the Holy Spirit that the enemy had got in there and done something. It wasn't her time.
Go ahead.
Mark,
Yeah, go ahead,
could
Mark.
I interject something with what Howard is asking? I'm trying to say something without making it sound like it's me. I witnessed my mother coming back from the dead. We prayed for her, and she came back from the dead. Now, the paramedics were there. My father was there,
I was there.
my husband, me. And what I gathered from everything that transpired was it was a witness to my father and the emergency medical team that were there. She was flatlined when we came through the door. And something within me, I could not accept it. I just could not accept her going to the other side. And so I laid on my mother and I prayed to the Lord that he would bring her back. Now, after everything was said and done, we sat and we talked to my mother when she was in the hospital after being revived. And she said to me that she was far, far, far away. And she said, I heard my child calling me back and asking me to come home. And she said, the next thing I knew, I was back in my body. And the paramedics were saying that they were getting a heartbeat, getting a rhythm, a pulse, and everything. And I believe that part of it was to be a witness and a testimony to God about what he can do for us. And like you said, why would God ask us to do something of the impossible if we could not do it with God? So to me, it was a testimony of the power of God. And it was a testimony to other people because they witnessed somebody coming back from the other side. And I think that is part of your question, Howard, why it would happen. And I think it's to give glory to God, and it's to give us an answer that there is an answer, and God has the power, and he has given it to us in time of need and in time of when we need it, and to answer our questions.
Amen. I don't know whether you know or whether I've ever said this, but Sister Janet was called back from the dead at one time. She was giving birth to Dana, and she was in the hospital with complications. And she was in a delivery room or something, and she found herself standing before the gate of heaven, and she heard a voice that said, send her back. It's not her time. And she shall be a witness unto me. And she came back down through that hospital, right down through the ceiling, and landed in her body. And she said it was a terrible noise that just about broke her ears. And why, you say, well, why did the Lord allow her to go if he was going to send her back? Well, it must have had something to do with his glory, you know, that he was going to do something in her soul in that experience. And when she came back, she opened her eyes and looked at the doctor, and the doctor said that she was dead, that there was no life. And she said, well, thank God it's all over. And he said, no, it's not all over. You haven't given birth yet. And so they brought her through the birthing process at that time. But I tell you, it did change her. She was very much of a spiritual oriented person.
It was in the hospital, a friend had died, and we were asked if we wanted to see her, and I said yes. And so we went into the room where she was, and I asked her, I said, Do you want to come back? I'll pray for you if you want to come back. And she didn't answer me, so I knew that she was wanted to stay with the Lord. And I don't know how else to say any more than just that.
Howard, when you asked your question, the first thing that came to my mind, you said, other than, glorifying God, why would we ever want to bring the dead back? And the thought that came to my mind was, I don't know your children's situation, but if you had a little daughter that died because of any reason, wouldn't you just love it if someone could bring her back to life? That's what came to my mind.
What kind of power of the Lord are we as sons of God going to witness in these latter days? You know, the glory of God is going to be manifest in this earth in such a manner that man has not seen probably since the days of his walking in the flesh among us. I do believe that there is going to be a tremendous witness in this earth and among the Gentiles as well.
Believe so, brother. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I personally believe from the scriptures that death is an enemy. It has nothing to do with God's purpose for man. That's why God will want us to come over and defeat this enemy called death. When righteousness is restored to humanity by the power of the gospel, sin is eliminated, darkness is gone. Today with my wife, we're looking at the Old Testament, Genesis. Jared lived 962 years, if you read Genesis chapter 5, where you see the long life that people lived here on earth. I was imagining how did Methuselah at 969 years, what was his physical appearance like? What did he look like? And Jared was 962 years of age. So, brethren, I think we are going to break that limitation of age, those things that make man look weird. The physical physique is mad, completely distorted. I don't think so. I believe with the kingdom of God in our spirits and souls, this our physical bodies will no longer look weird. We will no longer look terrible. We will radiate the beauty of Christ. We will radiate the beauty of God. And we can live on. We can live on. God created man to possess the earth, to live here on earth. If that longevity of God is restored. Of course, the Bible says in Isaiah, anyone that dies at the age of 100 is a child. So it means death is recessive. It has a little thing to do. But when righteousness overwhelms humanity, we shall no longer talk about death. That's what I see in the scriptures. Praise God.
Yes, amen. Death is the last enemy, and it will be defeated. Or shall we say, it is defeated in Christ Jesus.
Amen. When I'm thinking about the healing, from my own experience, healing is a manifestation of the forgiveness into our life. And in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 5, there was a people that have been following Jesus, and he had been healing people. But now he said something different that really they got mad of. He said not to these people, men, to walk and stand or walk. He said, your sins are forgiven. So in verse 5, he said, for whatever is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. So he's saying that this is really the same things taking place. When you are getting healing from something that is in your life or something that is taking place, it is because it is a manifestation of the forgiveness of God enter into the person or into your life that will make difference. And I knew it from my own experience. I was, for a couple of years back, I was laying in a hospital between life and death for a couple of days. And my wife came, and we were sitting on the bed in the hospital praying. And so we could have a little privacy. We took the curtain that was around the bed and draw it so it would just be alone on the bed, not infecting those who were around us. And we were sitting there and praying. And I really was lifted up in the spirit, and I saw me and myself and my wife sitting in the bed praying. But what I saw was that this curtain that was around the bed was not a curtain anymore. It was the angel of the Lord that had been sending and covering around the bed. And in that moment, I knew I was healed. I knew it was something new happened. And I stood up from the bed, and my wife said, I got a word for you. You are going to be healed, but not for yourself, but healed so Lord can use you. And from that moment, the forgiveness of God was entering into my life and changed everything in my being from that moment. So when we are receiving healing from him, we are receiving the greatness of the forgiveness of God's nature to us. It's powerful. There is nothing more, and when the life of God starts to flow into us, it is the part of the resurrection itself that have entered into our life, and now it's working. So, to walk in forgiveness is to walk in health. And I'm so glad when I was reading it for a few days ago, that in Christ is the everlasting life. Only in him. To be a partaker of everlasting life is to stay inside, stay in him. Out him, it's stay. If we stay, go outside of him, we are stepping outside of our everlasting life. So stay in Christ is to stay in everlasting life forever. So blessing to you all.
Yes, amen.
I have a question for you, Daniel. It was my birthday a short time ago, and on Facebook, they tell your friends, you know, your birthday's coming up. And yeah. I got a happy birthday from a Vinny. And yeah. I responded and said, well, thank you. And we must know each other by the Spirit of God, because I didn't even know who it was, because the name, the last name started with M, like magistrate or something like that. Is that your Vinny?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, it's me. Oh. It's my father's name. My last name was Magnusdóttir before we got this Thompson name. Okay. In Iceland, you just have your father's first name as your last name. Oh. So I use that as a between name, but on Facebook, I only use that because that's what old friends know me from.
Okay, so well, I just...
Yes.
I'm sorry that I treated you like I didn't know you, because I didn't know it was the Vinny and Daniel that I knew.
No. That's okay.
Yeah, my name is really not Daniel. I was not having that name. My name, Icelandic name is Red. But
on last name.
Yeah, and but my work fellow said you cannot use this name in Norway. No one can speak it. So I changed it into Daniel, and I got some work fellows to put some coffee on my head and baptized me Daniel. And so I'm good. I like that name.
He also had a very difficult last name, Sigtryggsson. So we used this Thompson as our last name in Norway because my grandfather had that name.
Okay, I was wondering about that, because isn't your last name starts with an H, like Henjustrand or something or other like that? But anyway, I know now it's Daniel and Vinny.
Yes.
Vinny, I'd like to share something with you.
Yes.
When Daniel was talking about what you said, the Lord told you about him being healed. The thing that came to me was, there are things that you do, that you pray even, and you have no idea how God is using you, because God uses you and sometimes you don't even realize it. And it's like, how can I explain this? It's like how you pray for people and sometimes you don't even realize it's because of what you have prayed. And I really sense when you pray for your children, you are going to see it come to pass. You are going to see it fulfilled in your life, because God is using you in ways that you don't even know. You haven't seen yet, but you are going to see the results in your children. Because you have been instrumental with your children, and they mean so much to you, and God knows that and sees it, and he knows your heart, and God is going to use you with your children, and in the end you'll see it and you will give the glory to God. But it's through your prayers that you don't even realize sometimes they're being answered. You don't, maybe you don't see it right away, but God is using you in ways that you don't even know.
Amen.
And I thank God for you too, because the love that we have for you is real.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
You too have been a blessing to me.
Yes,
and I give a blessing to the both of you, because you are going to see the results of God working in your children. And you might not see it right away, but I tell you, because of your prayers for your children, you're going to see an end result in it.
And Lord, we thank you, the body of Christ. Thanks you for this couple, Lord.
Yes, amen.
They have been a meaningful couple to not only our home, but I think many people in this fellowship. And God, we just continue
to ask for your hand to be upon them, upon their whole family, Lord God. And God, bring the fulfillment of the prayers that are being prayed for the kids. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I really have on my heart, really, for a time that we as a member of the body of Christ is going to enter into the new dimension that we have not been thinking so much about. I believe that we are going to enter into something in the fullness of time that we have not been thinking about or seeing yet. But we are going to starting to taste it, like, you know, to put up a full armor of God is not something that we can make our mind up to. It is a body operation. You cannot put on the breastplate yourself. You have to have your fellow on your back to put it on you. It's a body operation. So I believe that we are soon going to enter into really a good place in Christ, that when something is happened, we are going to see how God is going to connect his body in a really, really another way than we have seen before. This is a connection that is not been able to put off from a man, but only God himself. That when we started to taste this new connection in the body, it means that we are going to be able to notice and feel and aware of one another. If something is happening in your life, he will wake me up in the night to say, stand and pray for him in this situation, because this has happened now and this is needed now and you have to take a place. And then we do it and we start to come together in the same room, in the same spirit, and we are fighting even together. You will never, ever, ever fight alone again. We will be connecting in the spirit to take care of one another in the mighty way of him. And it is going to be in his way, but not our way. And when something is coming your way, and you will even not notice what is coming your way, he will wake some of us up to pray about it and show us how what is coming your way to be a partaker of it. Because we are not only a partaker of Christ, we are partaker of his suffering, and we are partaker of his glory, and we are partaker of one another in this time. And it will come to pass that the body is going to be united in totally one, all in all, in this hour. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Had a couple quick little last things to say. Opie, I wanted to tell you how much I love your amens. It must be something of the spirit, because every time it just blesses me so much.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you.
I wanted to give an example also to what Daniel was talking about. One night I had a dream about this guy I went to high school with. And I hadn't talked to him for, you know, 35 years or whatever it was, you know. And so I called him and I told him what the dream was. And he told me that the hair on his neck was standing up. And he couldn't tell me exactly the situation, but he said, "You won't believe what you just said to me." And it's like it came from God.
We are blessed, brother. God bless you.
Amen. Well, we've had a blessed time today, and we will have more blessed times. Let me turn the recording off.